The following program is sponsored by Online Trading Academy of Kansas City.
Today's show is provided for entertainment and general information purposes. Opinions expressed are those of the presenter only. We make no promises or guarantees of investment performance. Online Trading Academy is not a broker-dealer, certified financial planner, or registered investment advisor. Online Trading Academy is the world's most trusted name in professional trader and investor education. Enjoy the show. Hello, future traders and investors, and welcome to Power Trading Radio. My name is Christopher Crum, and I'm in studio today. In fact, in our brand new state-of-the-art recording studio with my co-host and good friend, Mr. Matthew McGrath.
Hey, Chris, this is exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is exciting. Hey, if you're brand new to the show, this show is fueled by Online Trading Academy. And of course, Matt and I both work at the Academy. The Academy has been around for 20 years teaching people how to trade and invest their own money in the financial markets. And So that's what we do. We help people learn how to do that at our branch of the Academy anyway. And, of course, people come to the Academy because they want to learn one of really two things. I just mentioned it.
Yeah.
One of which is learning how to trade the financial markets. And trading is simply the definition that I use. It's frequent buying and selling in the markets. So you're buying and selling daily, weekly, monthly, and you're buying stocks or you're buying options, currencies, or the global futures market.
Yeah. More markets. People are doing Bitcoin now.
We get questions about Bitcoin all the time and marijuana stocks.
Right.
But people do it with frequency. And the idea here is that if you do enough buying and selling, then of course you can create income from the profits by buying low and selling high. And it's really just that simple. It's just that we're using financial instruments like the stock market to do so. And most people that want to make income in the markets, they do it because, oftentimes we have students that love their job. I mean, really, truly love the work that they're doing, and they want to keep doing it. But there are an awful lot of jobs out there that people might love doing that don't pay as much as they'd like.
Right.
And they would like to make more money by supplementing their income. I think we're seeing more and more and more students come in that love their job. They're still going to continue to trade their time for that paycheck to do that job because they enjoy it, but they also would like to have unlimited earning potential.
Sure.
And that's something that you get from the financial markets
and
trading those markets.
Oh, yeah.
So you're awfully agreeable today.
No, I was just thinking because I literally just finished some trade plan meetings this week with students in class, and there were three people in the class, which I think was a record, who loved their job and were doing this just to supplement their income. And they outright said that even if they made more trading than they did at their job, they would keep their job. And that's so rare because most of the people that I see do not like their job. they cannot wait. They're doing this entirely to replace their income. And the day they make more money trading than they do at their job, they leave their job.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, yes. And we get tons of students that just really hate their jobs, just like you said. They're people that chose the wrong career path to begin with. And so for years, they've been trading that time for a paycheck and trading it miserably.
Sure.
Just going back and forth to work in that rut like a silly, sick cage lion. Yeah. So, but I think that's a wonderful idea. We live in the greatest country in the world. And if you have an entrepreneurial spirit, you'd like to have unlimited earning potential. You would like to set your own schedule and you feel like you can follow some rules. Well, then trading just might be the gig for you.
Yeah.
But we have tons of students that have done it over the years, and they changed their lives by doing it. Now, others come to the Academy because they're more interested in managing long-term wealth. And, of course, everybody knows that we don't get rich overnight, and not unless you win the lottery.
No.
And I think you've got a better chance of being eaten by sharks on land than you do winning the mega bucks or whatever it's called.
I know, struck by lightning. I've heard that one
before. What we do is we teach people how to build wealth over time. That is, how to put money in the markets. We like to use the financial markets, leverage those markets because, you can get a significant return on your money. Much more so than you could in a passbook savings or somewhere else. So it's a great place to go and park money if you know what you're doing with it.
Yeah.
But most people that park their money in the markets, they do it in a buy and hold scenario, which means that they buy low and they're hoping to sell high later.
Right.
That's typically what an investment's going to be anyway, right, Matt?
Exactly.
We want that investment to appreciate in value so that we can sell it later down the road and make money from it.
Right. And the key in what you said there is most people hope that that money is going to grow. And again, there was a time in this country where you could basically park your money in any stock and it was going to grow. You had over a 90% chance that was going to happen. Mm-hmm. But again, these last 17 years, we've had two major crashes, four corrections, and it is not a given anymore that whatever you buy is going to grow. And that's why you need to be educated and actually manage those investments.
Right. So, by the way, our students still park their money out there. They're still hoping on a buy and hold investment, but they learn how to insure that money that's out there. Exactly. So that if the markets go south on you with no hope of recovery, they can get their money back and then they can turn around and put that money into something that's going to go up in value in a down market.
Right.
And there are plenty of assets you can get involved with in a down market that are going to still create an exceptional return in those long-term accounts.
Sure.
So that's what we do. We teach students how to trade the financial markets and how to actually supplement or replace their income by doing so. And then we teach students how to invest in the markets in a way that allows them to minimize their risk and maximize their gains over time, so eventually they become financially independent. Mm-hmm. That's what we want in retirement, is financial independence, having enough money to account so that we're not dependent on the state or the government. We're not dependent on charity. We're not dependent on our kids to pay the bills. No longer dependent on a job.
Right.
We've got enough security in that account that we can do whatever we want to with the time we have left on this earth.
Yeah. And what percentage of the people, Chris, actually can do that?
Well, a very small percentage.
Yeah.
And I don't know the statistics.
Well, you've given it before, but 96% of Americans die penniless in this country. They
yeah.
have no money when they die. And again, that should not be the case in this country.
Right. Hey, if either of those concepts resonate with you, if you think you would enjoy the freedom of schedule, the unlimited earning potential that comes along with trading the markets to supplement or replace your income, if you would get excited about managing your long-term accounts while you minimize risk and maximize your rewards in order to create financial independence over time, check us out on the World Wide Web. We're at TradingAcademy.com. That's T-R-A-D as in Dan. Trading Academy, all one word. So check us out there. There's tons of stuff on that website that you can look at, but you can find out about our company, what we do, how we teach, who teaches our classes, bios on the 110 instructors that come from Wall Street and the Chicago Mercantile Exchange that are literally professional traders and investors teaching you how to do what their job was professionally. Yeah. So go ahead and check us out on the World Wide Web. We've got a great show for you today. In fact, we're going to give away some pretty cool things during the breaks today. So I invite you to stick around for that. But we're going to talk about trading and investing in the show. We're going to give you the secret sauce, the silver bullet for success today. What does it take if you want to be a trader and you want to supplement or replace your income? What does it take if you want to grow wealth over time? This is Power Trading Radio. Well, if you're a little confused about what you're doing right now, you're listening to Power Trading Radio with Christopher Crum and
Matt McGrath.
So we talk about trading and investing in this show. I know it sounds kind of boring and kind of humdrum to listen to two guys talk about financial stuff. And I think for the most part, it is for the average person to listen to people talk about finances, but we try to make it entertaining.
Yeah, we do.
At least Matt does. So, but let's talk, trading is really the sexy thing that we teach at the Academy. Most people, I think that, in fact, I went into a classroom and worked with one of our classes last week for about 2 hours. And one of the first questions I asked when I walked into the room, I asked them to raise their hands. Those of you that are really, truly here at the Academy because you want to learn to supplement or replace your income. Well, how many people out of the 22 in there do you think raised their hand, man?
I would bet everyone in that class.
Everyone did. Yeah. Everybody did. And that's the fun thing that we do because, you know, you're learning how to day trade, which means that you are trading. You know, you're gonna buy and sell over the course of that day, and you'll go to cash overnight.
Yeah.
So you go ahead and harvest that profit that same day. And in day trading, you start off the day with X amount of dollars, and then you end the day, hopefully, with, you know, more money than you started with.
Yeah, and the reason that's fun is it's instant gratification.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
It's fun to extract money from the market each day.
Right. And so, and then that's money that you can spend right away, whether you're using it to go out and go shopping, buying stuff on Amazon, taking a vacation, or whether it's a scenario where you're going to leave it in your account and let it grow.
Yeah, it's liquid. I mean, it's not part of an IRA where right. there's rules and you have to pay taxes if you withdraw the money from it and so on. It's fun. It's a blast.
It's a total blast. So trading, by the way, probably isn't, if you're brand new to the show, I bet it's not what you think. Because right. I think the average person out there, I think it's fair to say that most people that think about trading, what they're really thinking about is sitting in front of a six-screen computer setup with all these charts and analytics and,
right.
and then having to do all this research. It's all researchy. And you gotta,
that's how Hollywood portrays traders. I was thinking of that. You're a big Batman fan, aren't you?
I am.
Which was the movie where the one villain took over the futures exchange. And he hacked into Bruce Wayne's account.
Yeah,
and
I remember that.
And he traded futures and lost all of mm-hmm. Bruce Wayne's money.
Yep.
Which one was that?
He short over? Didn't he short the market in the futures market? I don't remember the name of the movie.
Right. I think was it The Dark Knight Rises?
I don't know.
Okay, but that's the one that I found most interesting because I love futures, and I thought that was so interesting, that scenario that they painted. But that's how Hollywood portrays traders. If you remember, there were scalpers on the trade floor who were doing dozens or hundreds of trades each day.
Right.
And you're right; they have the six screen computer set up. And of course, what do most lay people think of when they think of futures? Risk. That's right. The first thing that comes to mind. None of this, and you'll find out when you come to the academy, is true.
No. We spend it doesn't take a lot of time to trade, at least not the way that we teach you to trade at the academy.
Right.
You know, we're dealing with real people with real lives, people that have jobs and families, and we realize that your time is valuable and you have other things that you want to do rather than sitting in front of a six-screen computer setup. So what we focus on with our students is teaching them how to make four high-quality trades a day.
Yeah.
And we limit them to four. In fact, that's in our rules, our rule-based strategy that we have patented, that you stick with four trades a day. So why four? Well, it's because we want to focus on quality rather than quantity.
Right.
And when we're going into a trade, we have very, very high standards for accepting that trade into our lives. We're not just not going to go out and find a price set up and then go ahead and buy some stocks and then sure. hope that it works out. We have a patented rule-based strategy that teaches you how to look at a chart, more importantly, how to look at the prices on a chart, and then identify where it's likely that, the big banks and institutions are buying and selling in the markets.
Right.
Where it's likely that there are imbalances of supply and demand. If there's an imbalance of supply over demand, then everybody inherently knows that price is going to go down. If there's more supply than demand. So if we can identify in the chart where that scenario exists, then we know price is going to continue to go down, right?
Right.
So then we would want to do something called shorting the market. If we see that there's more demand than supply and there's an imbalance in the favor of demand, well, then we're going to want to go long in the market. That means sure. we're going to buy low and sell high.
Right.
But we're looking for the special price setups that have these three attributes to it. It's got to be low risk. And if you're buying it right, then guess what? It starts to become low risk. Just sure. by nature itself, if you're buying something on fire sale, what are the chances that you could get your money back out of that item?
Yeah, much greater.
Especially if it's an item that by nature is supposed to appreciate in value.
Sure.
And then we're looking for a trade that is high reward. So at the end of the day, if we win on a trade, we want to make a lot of money. We're not going to settle for, you know, the pennies on the dollar here. We're talking about tripling the money that we have at risk
sure.
in the financial markets. And then the third attribute is that it's got to be high probability. So we're looking for a setup that has a very high probability the price is going in the direction that you want it to.
Right.
And as we painted two pictures here, in one scenario, we want to see the price go up if you're buying low and selling high. But if you're shorting the market, then we want the price to go down.
Absolutely.
Quite. The faster it goes down and the more it goes down, the more money we make.
Exactly.
To do this, all of this, these four attributes that you're trading, to set those up, how much time does it take to do it?
In the beginning, if you actually put blinders on and you follow the written routine we give you, we actually give you the step-by-step process, it takes about 45 minutes. Now, again, you can take longer. I mean, there's always something else that you can look at in trading. I mean, I know traders that spend all day trading, but if you're following our rules-based system, it takes just 45 minutes. Now, eventually, you'll have that trade plan memorized where you're not even having to look at the trade plan or the daily trading routine. And believe it or not, it takes only 15 minutes. My most successful day trading last week, Chris, I was 4 for 4 on my trades. And it took me less than 15 minutes to find those four setups. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, again, you can complicate it. Like I said, I know a lot of people who do. I mean, you could spend all day doing it if you want to. But if you're following our rules-based strategy, it doesn't take very much time at all.
It does not take much time at all. And we use a software, by the way, that we could then automate the right. buying and selling of these assets, but using, of course, technology to do it. So you basically tell your software that I want to buy this particular stock at this price, and then I would like to sell you at this price. to harvest a profit.
Right.
That's the one where you're going to make the money. But you also have a predetermined notion before you go in that, because you know you're not going to win on every trade. So if you lose on one, well, then how much money are you willing to lose? And we go ahead and tell it to sell it off for a loss because we want to get our money back, get that back into cash flow so that we're in the business of trading.
Sure, at a small loss. I use 1%.
Yeah, 1% of the account per trade
is
the most that we're willing to risk. So there are about 20 decisions that you're making when you set up these trades. You're deciding which four assets you're trading, and then you're making four decisions about each one of those assets. What am I buying it for? What am I selling it for a profit? What am I selling it for a loss? And then, of course, the first decision you make, are you betting that the price is going to go up or are you going to go down?
Sure.
That determines whether you're going to take a long position or a short position. And it all might sound complex. We're talking about the long position and the short position. We told you about selling it for a loss. That's called a stop loss. You know, some of the language of the markets, I think, is what really confuses people.
Sure.
And it can be confusing if you let it. But the truth of the matter is it's as simple as this. You're buying and selling. And everybody inherently knows how we make money in buying and selling stuff. You buy low and you sell high.
Right.
You buy for wholesale, you sell at retail. So we all know that that's the way that Walmart makes money, don't we?
Yeah, any business.
Any retail business. Yeah. They're going to spend less on their product than what they sell it for. And so that's really what trading is truly all about. It just doesn't take that much time to do it. Once you find those four assets, though, now you know you need to make those decisions. And these are managerial type decisions. You're managing the trade now. So you're going to manage the risk. You're going to manage the amount of profits that you can take from this.
Sure.
And, of course, you're going to manage any potential loss that might happen. And that's what makes a professional trader a little bit different than – say somebody who decided that they like E-Trade. Oh my gosh, have you seen that new E-Trade commercial yet, by the way?
Which one?
It's the one, the guy with the boat.
I don't think so.
I'm going to show it to you on the break.
Okay.
It is the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. But you know what? E-Trade is getting 1,000 new users a day right now. And people just coming out of the woodwork to sign up and then to become an E-Trade user. And what they're doing is they're funding their own accounts.
Right.
And they're funding it with disposable money. If you read a book about it, that's what the book tells you to do. Fund your account with disposable funds. Well, I don't know about you guys, but if you got disposable funds, bring them by the Academy. I'll just take it from you. I mean, you don't have to go to Wall Street to do that and pay broker the privilege to lose your money.
Well, I think it's amazing they advise that, because basically what they're saying is be prepared to lose.
So right. But this commercial, I don't want to ruin it for you because I do want to show it to you in the break. But I'm going to tell you about it. This commercial is this kid, kind of a goofy looking kid, you know, guy. And he's just, there's this music going on and it's like this dance music and he's just dancing his rear end off. And he's in the controls in the helm of this beautiful yacht. And they pan back and you see this gorgeous yacht. And then you can see through the windshield, there's beautiful girls that are in bikinis. They're all dancing and everything. And so he walks out of the cockpit and he dances his way up to the beautiful girls and everything. And he's dancing with them and having a great time. And then it goes boom and the motion stops. And the words show up on the screen that the dumbest kid in high school just bought a boat. And then the music starts again, and he goes rushing off, and then just dives off the back of his moving boat in the middle of the ocean.
That's hilarious.
And then at the end it says, don't get mad, get E-Trade. And the commercial is so it's so funny, and you want to like E-Trade for that commercial.
Sure.
And of course, in the business that we're in, knowing that they have the highest fees because they're a retail brokerage. And then not only that, but they go to a market maker to get the product.
Market maker, right.
And there are so many disadvantages to using that type of a brokerage that is crazy. But 1,000 accounts a day, brand new ones that they're bringing on board. And these are people that simply go out and fund an account, and then they try some things. That's the average way the average Joe tries to learn how to do it, which
that's
is just,
amazing.
You know, folks, I got to tell you something. This is something that it's a learned skill. Anybody can learn how to do it, but the markets are risky.
Yeah.
And the markets are complex. And you're competing against people that are professionally trained.
Yeah.
And when I say competing, what they're trying to do is extract money from your account just as you're trying to do the same, extract money from their accounts.
A lot of people don't understand that. They don't understand that when they place a trade, if they do win on that trade, there's someone on the other side of the exchange who lost that money. And when we lose on a trade, there's someone on the other side of the exchange who made that money. You're absolutely right that it's competitive.
It often is referred to as a zero-sum game.
Right.
Where, like you said, there's typically a winner and a loser on every trade. So you want to try and be on the winning side of the trade. And the people that win in the markets are the banks and institutions and right. big brokerage houses and the brokers on Wall Street. So the people that are professionally trained are typically the ones that win.
Right.
Well, why not learn how they do it and then tag right along with them on their trades?
Exactly.
Identify in these charts where it's likely that they're buying and selling. They cause imbalances of supply.
Oh, yeah.
So they can actually create a price increase or cause the price to drop.
Well, they make the markets and they manipulate markets.
We should talk about that after the break a little bit, how they set institutional traps out there. But if we can trade right along with them, well, then why can't we be just as profitable as they are? And in fact, we do. Our students do. Our graduates do.
Sure.
We're going to stop, pause for station identification, but we will be right back. Well, since we've been talking about the big players in the markets, I think we would be remiss, Matt, if we didn't kind of explain to these folks who the big players are.
Sure.
And what kind of money they're dealing with. And so the types of companies that will send their armies of brokers and traders and investors into the market are financial type companies for the most part. So these are oftentimes companies that have an intangible product. The big banks are big ones, the investment banks, companies like Goldman Sachs, Bank of America.
Morgan Stanley. J.P. Morgan Chase is the largest one.
Yeah. And in fact, and you know what this statistic is, the top, the five largest investment banks collectively manage
$9 trillion.
$9 trillion in the markets between just those five of those institutions.
I think a lot of people don't realize there's only 20 large banks and financial institutions that are even left now. In the United States.
Probably didn't.
There were 120 about 10 years ago, but they've all merged and consolidated with one another. So some of the ones we just mentioned, like Bank of America, it's now Bank of America and Merrill Lynch, right?
Right.
Those two merged together.
Right.
J.P. Morgan Chase, you know, used to be two banks.
Right.
But that's another way that they, like I said, they have the power to move markets because it's a very consolidated group of banks. They used to trade against one another. It was a very competitive industry, but it's so consolidated now that over half of the orders placed in our market each day come from those large banks and financial institutions.
Yeah, and I mean, it's some baseline information. We touched on this earlier, that it's imbalances of supply and demand that move price in the market. And of course, speculation can cause over-speculation or under-speculation could cause imbalances of supply and demand.
Sure.
But banks know that they can also cause imbalances of supply and demand. And as a baseline reference to all of this, the markets are comprised of basically willing buyers and willing sellers. So all of the stock in the world, by the way, is owned by somebody. And when a company goes public, they put a portion of their stock up for sale. The company retains the majority of it. But then they put a bunch of it up on something called an exchange, which then matches up buyers to the seller. And then when people buy that stock, they're buying shares of equity in that company.
Sure.
And the company's getting a big fat paycheck for it. That's why all these big companies love to have an IPO, an initial public offering. Now we've got a bunch of stockholders that now own this stock. And so they bought it at 19. Now it's at $19.10. Does that mean every single one of them is a willing seller at $19.10? No, it's a fraction of them that are willing to sell it at $19.10. So at any given time, there's only a small fraction of shares that are even available for sale at a specific price point. What happens in every market, I don't care where you go, and I could provide you with illustration after illustration after illustration of how this is true. But when it's something goes in demand, there are a lot of buyers that want to buy it, but there's a limited number of sellers.
Sure.
Those buyers are going to purchase every share of stock that's for sale at that price point. Now, suddenly, at $9.10, there's no longer one single share for sale.
Right.
They've consumed every one of them at that price point. And if there's enough buyers left over, what they have to do is they have to increase the amount that they're willing to pay for the stock. It's called their bid price.
Their bid price, yeah.
They increase the bid price in an attempt to try to attract more willing sellers. Now, the opposite is true when there's more sellers than buyers. If there's a limited number of willing sellers, willing sellers competing against the limited number of willing
buyers.
I've confused myself. Buyers. Then the price is going to go down.
It
right?
has to go down.
They
right.
have to decrease their ask price in order to attract more willing
exactly.
buyers. And that holds true in the market, no matter which way you want to look at it. If I'm a bank and I've got trillions of dollars that I can throw into a trade, why can't I go and take a look at this stock that's at $9 and say, you know what, I want to do a limit order on this stock. And so I'll buy up every share between $9 and let's say $9.75. I'll buy up to 20, 30 million shares, and but stop buying once the price gets to $9.75. Stop buying once I get to the 30 million shares. And what they do is they just effectively consume every price point all the way up to $1.75. It happens very quickly.
Right.
And now we've got 39 million retail traders out there trading their own money. Again, these are people that liked the boat commercial for E-Trade. And so they decide to sign up for an E-Trade account. And they just funded the account and they're trying some things.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So they don't know any better. Or the people that have read a book, they've read that chapter on the trend that says when price goes up, that's your friend.
Exactly.
That's when you're supposed to buy.
And that's the mistake that they make. Again, most retail traders are trend traders, which means they wait until price has gone up before they're willing to buy, or they wait until price has gone down before they're willing to short. And the scenario you were just presenting is what's called an institutional trap. The banks typically force the price of an asset up by buying as many shares as possible within a price range. And then they do that knowing that retail investors will now get in on it. And that's who the banks sell their shares off to and take their profits from. And then retail investors and traders are left holding the bag when that price goes down.
Right. And that's when they end up losing their shirt.
Yeah.
And I think you might have told the story about was it Yahoo IPO?
Facebook IPO. That's the most historic example of an institutional trap. So if you remember years ago when Facebook had their initial public offering and everyone was so excited about that, Goldman Sachs, by the way, is who did their IPO, they set the opening price at $28 a share. Well, right when the bell rang at 8:30 in the morning, our time in the Midwest, the banks bought $500 million worth of it.
Wow.
So they forced the opening price of $28 a share up to $42 a share. The retail trading world at home, who couldn't wait to finally be able to invest in Facebook, I mean, their dream
right.
company.
Of course.
But they didn't want to pull the trigger on that buy until the trend had been established.
Right.
Now that price had gone up to 42 and it was in an uptrend, now they pulled the trigger and bought, and the bank simply dumped their shares off to them and took their profits, and the price fell all the way to $18 a share. Opened at 28, rose to 42, closed at 18. That's a classic example of an institutional trap.
Sure.
Retail investors lost $2.5 billion that day. It's Brexit they lost $1 trillion.
Right. And, you know, we talk about trading losses and how you lose money, but what happens to that money that you lose? You know, honestly, there's a finite amount of dollar bills that are rolling around out there. And if money exited your account today, it went into somebody else's account.
Yes.
Obviously, there are brokerage fees, so some of it went to your brokerage too.
Right.
But for the most part, when you have a losing trade, it's because somebody on the other side of that trade just won that. And
right.
a lot of times it is those banks and institutions that blindside you with
things like
this. The
majority of the time it is. Right.
Yeah, they have rules and they have strategies when they go into the financial market. They're just not going in there blindly and making a guess on something. They know exactly how much they're going to buy for. If they're doing an institutional trap, they know exactly what parameters to set to make that price move up and get everybody's attention and get everybody on the bandwagon.
Oh, it's all automated. There's no emotion involved at all anymore. Again, they use programs and algorithmic trading. Again, before they ever even enter a trade, they know to the penny how much money they're going to make if they're right on that trade and how much they're going to lose if they're wrong on that trade. And they always make sure that the ones they're profitable on, they make much more money on those trades than they lose on their unprofitable trades.
And that's what we teach our students to do, too. That's the most important part of it. But, you know, think about it. Do you want to go out and try and compete with people that have that kind of power and influence just over the price alone?
No.
And then they've got rules and strategies that they use that to manage their own money. So they're looking at something. So when I go into the market, I'm looking at a price set up now. I'm looking for those four trades. Those guys are like looking at a price set up and they're like, well, what can we make this price do?
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking at it going, what's the price going to do here? What is most likely to do? And they're going, what can we make the price do?
Yeah.
But at Online Trading Academy, we have, of course, a patented rule-based strategy that we teach our students that shows you how to identify where it's likely these banks and institutions are buying and selling in the financial markets. And so you set your trades up right along with them. You know, they show up with their armies of traders and investors and their mountains of money. We're like a little mount. You know, they're like elephants leaving footprints, stomping through these price charts. We're like a little mouse that just jumps up on their back with our satchel of money, and we just ride along for the fun of it, and we can profit right along with them. So it's a pretty cool gig. So, you know, you need rules and you need strategies and you need solid rules and strategies. That's how Wall Street gleans millions, sometimes $100 million a day.
116 just at one of the banks.
Yeah, that's how they do it. So we're going to go ahead and pause again, folks, for station identification. This is Power Trading Radio. Welcome back. Hey, thank you so much for listening to Matt and I on Power Trading Radio today. We love doing the show, and we certainly shout out to our loyal listeners that tune in every week. And, you know, for years, I didn't think we had loyal listeners. I didn't know how we possibly could have. And we meet them at the academy all the time. They come into workshops and things like that.
It's amazing.
So it is really great when we have the chance to meet you folks that listen to the show. And if you're brand new to the show, well, welcome aboard this week. Maybe you'll set a reminder on your iWatch or your iPhone or your iGizmo or your Siri or your Alexa, or I'm trying to think of all these technologies that you probably have. My wife's a Samsung person. I don't know what they call their stuff.
Right.
The Galaxy. Set it on your Galaxy to tune into the show. But we appear pretty consistently on the radio each weekend on the radio station that you're listening to right now. We are in multiple cities now, so I'm not really sure what time the show is airing in your area or what radio station you're listening to. But I assure you, we love that radio station, whoever they are, because they air our show. And we really appreciate you listening in. So I wanted to kind of finalize things today by talking about trading, because that's the thing that most people are really, truly interested in. And it really, truly is a way for you to change your life, but more importantly, your lifestyle. And if you're at a place in life where you're just sick of the corporate politics, if you're sick of sitting around and waiting for your job or for your boss to realize that you're a valuable employee and that you deserve a raise, and you haven't had one in 3 years, you know, not even a cost of living raise. If you're in any kind of environment where you go to that you just feel sad about, man, you know what? You can change your life if you learn just to take matters in your own hands. And I'm a big fan of a guy named Tony Robbins, who's a motivational speaker, but he's changed a lot of people's lives over the years. And back in the 90s, he wrote a book called Awaken the Giant Within. And one of the thoughts that he had in that book is about how we handle decisions. Because most people think that if we decide to do something like, you know, I'm going to take Allison to the movies, my wife to the movies, well, until I actually take her to the movies, that decision is not a firm decision, right?
Yeah.
And the word decision actually comes from, I don't know if it's a Greek word, I can't remember, but it's a derivative of the word cut in another language. And what it means is that if you make a decision, then you're making a solid, firm commitment to do something.
Right.
And the important thing here is the word do, that you follow it up with doing something.
Yeah.
And in Tony's book, he says you follow with massive immediate action. You don't wait until tomorrow, you followed immediately with massive action, and that's how you make things move forward for you. It's just too easy for us, I think, in America to just go ahead and settle for that six-figure income job and live in our mediocre middle-class home. We could have great things, but it's just too easy just to show up to work and have your cup of coffee and then check your Facebook and then, you know, type out a couple of emails and then go ahead and go on another coffee break and then go on a bathroom break and then go to lunch. And then come on back and then, you know, kind of yawn your way through the first half of the afternoon. I mean, who wants to keep living like that? It's doldrum.
I think they do it because it's safe, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the net. And that's the
that's an illusion also, isn't it?
It is.
Right.
Yeah, your safety rests on decisions of other adults.
Right.
And you have other adults telling you what to do. Have other adults telling you whether or not you can go home early on a Christmas Eve or you know, leave a day early for Thanksgiving to go see relatives out of town. And, you know, in the world of trading, it's entrepreneurial. We start all of our students off slow. We start them off in a very methodical way until they can gain confidence in what they're doing. A lot of students don't have enough money to leave their jobs right away.
Sure.
We have tons of students that start off trading the foreign exchange market, which is open 23 hours a day, 6 days a week. They start off with $2,000.
Yeah.
Well, you're not going to probably replace, I know you're not going to replace your six-figure income with a $2,000 Forex account.
No.
What's the, what would the, $80 a day?
Oh, if, yeah, if you were trading 6 days a week, you could target just under $2,000 a month from that size account, $1,920. And, you know, to a lot of people I meet with, Chris, that is life-changing money.
No.
Right there. But again, if you leave those profits in now, you can actually target much more the next month and more the next month and so on.
Agreed. Well, I'm trying to think the last time we had somebody that had a $2,000 account that then, you know, after the first month of profits, that they were successful, that they left their job. And it's much better to stay at the job for 6 or 8 months and just leave that money in your account and then just build it up.
I've had many students whose goal in their trade plan was to make only $200 or $400 a month. And I always laugh because it's actually, if you are successful at this, you're following the rules, it's hard to make that little actually. And they were just stunned because they actually made $1,200 and they were just ecstatic.
Right.
But yeah, it's hard to earn that little if you're educated.
You do need money if you want to get started doing this, though, and because we are in the business of buying and selling, you need money to buy your inventory, so to speak,
right.
Your inventory of stocks or futures or forex currency pairs, whatever it is. So you need some money to get started. With forex, you can start with as little as $2,000, and you can still function okay as a high frequency trader. If you're in the futures market, you need $5,000 plus. That's a great market to be in, though. It's open 23 hours a day, 6 days a week.
Yeah.
You can always find time to trade. It's a global market, so you see big swings in price, and that's what we like. We don't care if price is going up or going down because we make money either way. We just want it to go, right?
Of course. Right.
One way or the other. If you wanted to trade options, that's a leveraged asset, just like naturally leveraged asset, just like futures and Forex. You need 10 grand. If you're wanting to trade the stock market, which we advise against, and that's, of course, the one that most everybody knows about. But, you know, there's some things about the stock market that just don't lend itself to high-frequency trading so much, right?
Right. If your goal is income, stock is one of the worst things to trade because it simply moves too slowly, right?
Yeah, and this would probably make sense to you because if you're trading the U.S. stock market, well, there's only about 7,200-ish companies that are publicly traded. And so the most of that market is right here in the United States. Most of the people trading that are here in the U.S. Whereas you go to the Forex market, that's a global market, man,
right.
And it's open 23 hours a day, and $5.2 trillion is going to change hands in that. So
right.
There are huge swings in that market every day.
Yeah, and it's a leveraged asset, and again, because of the volume and the fact that it's leveraged, that's why price does move quickly in that market. And the benefit of that now is most of your trades are done the same day that you place them, and now you have the money to trade again tomorrow and the next day.
Right.
So typically, Forex and futures traders, for that reason, earn 10 to 40 times the income that a stock trader would earn.
And then with stocks, there is a three-day period.
It's now T plus two, so there's a two-day settlement period.
Right.
But yeah, again, there's so many irritating things about stock. And, you know, that's what I first started trading when I was uneducated, because that's what we think traders trade, right? That's what
right.
Jim Cramer trades on Mad Money. That's what they trade in the movies like Wall Street. But that's one of the first things you'll learn when you come to Online Trading Academy is there's a lot of misconceptions about trading. Most professional traders do not trade stock.
Right. And then the other issue, you mentioned leverage. In the stock market, if you want leverage, what that means is that you're trying to increase your purchasing power with leverage or your ability to control assets, a higher volume of assets. So you're actually going to borrow money from your brokerage to do that. And it's called trading on margin. If you open a margin account, you have a pool of money there that you can draw upon that's not your money
sure.
that you can use to buy and sell stocks. Well, when does it make sense that you would lose money, and you can, that doesn't belong to you? And it's a finite period of time that you can borrow this money, and you have that amount of time to do whatever you're going to do with that money, and then the brokerage wants their money back.
Right.
And when they want it back, they call it a margin call, they want it back now.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're in a losing position or not. And so you could literally lose all of your money on one trade doing that very easily. So we advise against the stock market for day trading. You can place some swing trades,
right.
which is when you keep your position open overnight. You might sell it the next day or several days later. The stock market works for that sometimes because it does move slowly, so you can keep it open overnight. It's not as susceptible to price gaps overnight as maybe some of the other more volatile markets. But so it doesn't take a lot of money to get started. We already talked about it doesn't take a lot of time to do it.
Right.
You know, a lot of people probably think that you really need to be highly educated to learn how to do this.
I know when I came here, I thought for some reason that you had to be really good at math in order to be a good trader. And I'll tell you, from working with over 3,700 students just at this location, I can tell you that has nothing to do with it. The ones that are good at trading are simply good at following rules.
Yeah.
I like your analogy. They're following a recipe. If you like to follow recipes, and I do, when I cook, I always use a recipe.
Right.
They tend to make good traders. They like following rules-based strategies.
But the youngest person that's ever gone through the academy was a fourth grader in 2016. He was nine years old. So he didn't even have his fourth grade education yet.
Yeah.
And he's trading his mother's futures account. This is out of our center in Toronto, Canada. So you don't have to be a rocket scientist.
No.
You don't have to be highly educated to learn how to do it. It is a learned skill, and it's something that you've got to learn how to do. Having an aptitude, like Matt said, is following the rules. If you can confine yourself to a box of rules, then you can be a very successful trader. But of course, you know, it is always a good idea to get some education under your belt. And I think the best way to learn it, we're the only company that has brick and mortar locations across 45 cities, 20 years experience teaching people how to do it, over 100 professional trader instructors that are teaching our students.
And we're always here to help them after the class is over.
Always
that's really what
available.
Separates us.
And then with all the online resources we have to support them after class too. Well, I've had a great time today, Matt. I hope you have too. If you want to check us out on the web, it's tradingacademy.com. That's T-R-A-D as in Dan. You can also find me and Matt at facebook.com/OTAKC. Hey, folks, tune in next week. But for now, so long.
The preceding program was sponsored by Online Trading Academy of Kansas City.